I mentioned Steve's been on a journey, and some of you are on journeys soon to far-flung lands. Welcome that, and I appreciate seeing stories that go with it. You may have picked up that I've bringing you on a journey as well over the last 9 weeks, and particularly in these last few weeks. For all this term, we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is, the character and life of the Holy Spirit as we encounter the Spirit across the whole of Scripture. Didn't want to just give you the top countdown, top 10 verses of the Holy Spirit, most of which would probably come from Luke and Acts. I wanted to give you the big picture. And so we've started at Genesis, and we've tracked through the Spirit at work in Genesis and in creation and in the prophets. And then we got to the New Testament and thought firstly about how the Spirit is experienced for Paul, and then for Luke and Acts, and then John, to give us a wide drafts of how the Spirit's at work. And then last week we started not from Scripture, we start from where you and I are now. Because the Spirit works in you and I in three ways in this journey. The word last week started with J, sounded like, thank you, sounded like justification, that's right. Justification. We are justified by God. And we thought briefly about how that justification happens and what's going on when that happens. We look at how often we, in all sorts of ways, seek to justify ourselves, justify our choices, justify our purchases. But we realize that we can't, no matter how good we try and be, justify ourselves before God. If we're going to be justified before God, then God's got to do it. It has to be God's gift of grace to us, to help us to stand right before God. And that faith is the only tool with which we can take up this joy of being justified by God. Our good works are not going to take up this justification. Our attending church in and of itself is not going to take up this justification. Only trusting the Lord in faith. It's the only tool that by which we can take up our place as people who are set right before God. And at that point, seen or unseen, we receive the gift of the Spirit into our hearts. It's Romans 5:5, which we will get to in a moment. It's at that point. That's how the journey begins for us. When we're thinking about the Spirit now, I'm not thinking firstly about more ecstatic experiences of the Spirit. This is something which is open and real for every one of us, that every one of us is set right with God. We need that starting point to get to where we head now. Does anyone recognize this? A virtual Mars bar for people who may recognize. What do you reckon, Linda? 1,000 steps, very nice work. This is indeed the 1,000 steps in Ferntree Gully. It's a track built up the side, up to the top of One Tree Hill, in honour of people who served in the Second World War. You can see Jim there and others who served in the Second World War. Sanctification is a journey step by step. Sanctification is not something that God transacts when we're talking about justification. Sanctification is a journey, step by step, through our days. What does the word mean, though? Sanctification. It does, as I implied in the Bible study series, it does sound like something that you would do to milk. I can clearly remember, I don't need confessions now, but I can clearly remember leaving milk bottles out the front of the house in a little metal cage. And I can't believe some of the faces that are nodding. You're too young to remember this. and you'd leave the empty ones out, and in the morning you go out and there'd be full 1 pint bottles of milk sitting out the front with little foil lids stuck on the top. And if it was delivered early enough, the cream had started to rise to the top of the milk, and so it would always be good to get that. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. And then I think it was about 1974. I think I was on holidays in Lawn. Mum brought back this newfangled carton of milk from the shop. And I genuinely remember the physical challenge involved for the family to try to figure out, how do you open the carton of milk? It was quite a challenge in those days. Well, milk may be pasteurized, it may be homogenized, but milk is not necessarily sanctified. Sanctification, let me offer you my first definition, and then I've upgraded the definition since then. Sanctification, to be changed more like God wants us to be. Sanctification is the process of change that God brings into our life, the work of the Spirit in our life, helping us to become more like God wants us to be. I believe that, not just because I wrote it, because I also happen to think it's true. But it actually implies something else. It can imply a sense of negation. And those of us who have a disposition to think poorly about ourselves can find that reinforced in definitions like that. So let me offer you this slightly upgraded thought. Being transformed for God and with God. You and I hope, come to be transformed, to keep growing, to keep taking another step more towards the life of God in us, being transformed for God and with God. That this experience is not something we have to go through on our own. It is something that God enables and makes possible and empowers us to enjoy. As I said, this transformation starts with God, and we alluded to this just before in Romans 5, verse 5. The gift of the Spirit of God in our hearts gives us great hope that God doesn't abandon us. God doesn't wish to leave us alone to try and figure it out for yourselves, and I'll see you on the other end at some place called the afterlife. God's at work with us now, in our hearts, seeking to let this transformation continue and grow all the more. In other words, God lives at the core of our lives. We may or may not be true to the presence of God at the core of our lives, but God is true to us. Let that soak in for a second. God, by the Spirit, lives at the core of our lives, at the very core of our being. And we may or may not be true to the presence of God within us, but God is true to us nevertheless, in putting us right with Himself and in giving us the possibility of growing and changing. So this process is not a meaningless one, not a futile one. It is one that is marked by hope and delight along the way. And this growth can come. And almost always it is a slow, long-lasting, gradual sense of growth. For we realize that if we have any experience of life with God now, that is an experience of life of God by the Spirit. And this has been one of the subtexts I wanted to make sure you appreciate it all the way through this study. That life today, our experience of God today, is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the present life of God with us and among us to lead us and to inspire us. And that's why Paul can be so emphatic in the reading that we shared today, Galatians 5:16 starts with this urging. People live by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. That's new RSV language for sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. Paul is longing for the Galatians to do this. Why? Because the Galatians had made up this approach to Christianity, which meant Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus the law. And if you're to be a proper Christian, then yes, you believe in Jesus, but you also are responsible to fulfill all of the Hebrew law still. Paul is desperate to get people to move on. No, this is not Christ plus the law. This is Christ and the Spirit of Christ, as Paul sometimes refers to him. The Spirit of Christ in and among you now. That is the way you live. Live for that. Don't live for the things that would steer you. I offer you a slightly wild version of this text. Walk around in the Spirit and don't let indulgence set the direction. Now, why have I put it like this? The word live, where it says live by the Spirit, the word live is based on the Greek word peripateo. It literally means to walk around something. So walk around, live, walk around, and let that walk be by the Spirit. In your walking around, in your going through, stepping through from day to day, let that be something by the Spirit. And where it says desires of the flesh, it's also got the sense of the word, it's teleos. It has the sense of the word purpose or direction. And that's why I want us to think about this. Don't let our sinful nature, our indulgences, set the direction for the way that we walk. Let the Spirit set the direction for the way that you walk. Don't let your own nature set the direction for the way that you walk as God's people. That's what Paul is urging the Galatians to appreciate and to get on with. What is one step forward for you and I? If we want to be on this journey, if we want to be transformed, if we want to grow more like the character of God, what does one step forward look like for you and I along the way? As I sat with the message for today, I was pleasantly warmed to find a set of questions rising up for me. And they're questions that I offer you now. They're questions that would actually typically come up in a spiritual direction or a mentoring session. It's hard to do one-on-one with a whole congregation in moments like these. But I want to offer these to you. I've actually already written them up for you as well. So this is a little handout to do with each of the fruit of the Spirit. There's copies of this handout at the front and at the back of the church. So if these questions are helpful for you, please take it and use it as a prompt for your own prayer and reflection and your journey ahead in the week. But on the assumption that you can't read the fine print up there, let me step through each of these for you. These are questions about how the character of God can grow in our character and in our days. Firstly, about love. When you think about those whom you are asked to love, think about it in these terms. What do they like to give? And then give back in like ways. And this typical suggestions for these, it could be in a word or of encouragement, or it could be in a gift that you give them, or it could be in a time, an act of service, or it could be being present enough to touch, or it could be in terms of quality time. But when it comes to passing on the love of God to someone else, it helps to think about how do they like to express their love? Because usually the way people like to share it is the way that they like to receive it too. So how do you go about expressing love to others? And is that in a way that they like to receive it? Joy. Simply, what makes us laugh or celebrate with others? Can you think about something that does help you to laugh, that does help you to celebrate, does bring delight along the way? It may not be sitting down together and reading Psalm 1, you know, rotating a verse each as you go through. That might be the case. For us, on Friday night, it was watching one of the recent episodes of Top Gear. Because that's a time when our family will sit around together and will laugh together at increasingly ridiculous things that unfold. No joy. Find ways for joy to be experienced as a group. After the service, you'll get a little bit of a sneak peek into what I just mentioned before from Top Gear. Peace. What phrase do I say to myself most often? This will take a little bit of quiet reflection, a bit of intentional thinking, but what phrase or thought do you repeat to yourself most often? Is that a word of peace to you? Or is that a word of rebuke or disappointment or regret? Hear that word that you are saying to yourself and share it back to God. And let the Lord reframe and rephrase the things that you say to yourself most frequently. Let the Lord have those thoughts as part of the remapping and restoring of your heart. Perhaps your step forward needs to be in the area of patience. Patience, which, by the way, is different to procrastination. Some of us might be much more rehearsed at one than the other. And I want you to notice this question. What do you feel urgent about? And is that urgency actually really merited? Is it valid? Is it true to the situation? Or is it a habit of our heart and mind that trips us up? That we feel tense about this, or it feels important and it needs to happen right now. But it's not actually true. It's a habit of our heart and mind, and we actually need to learn patience. It may be to do with something about ourselves. It may be to do with someone else. But noticing what we feel urgent about, what we feel tense about, what we feel immediate about, and holding it out to be reevaluated, second-guessed, and potentially put aside is a very important step if we're to learn ways of peace. Kindness. What kindness will promote change? We have the ability to be kind. We have the ability to give of ourselves. What sort of kindness would promote change? Maybe it's a kindness into a relationship which needs to change. Maybe it's a kindness when there is relatively few opportunities or relatively limited time to show that kindness. What sort of kindness comes to mind that you think will bring the sort of change that God longs to see? What would help there? Generosity. This one felt awkward when this one came up. as well as the others, frankly. What do I have ample of, therefore I can share freely? But then I've got to also say, what do I actually guard too closely? That even if I haven't got a lot of it, it might really be needed by someone else, and I need to give it away, even though I'm actually quite protective of it. You sense how both of those things can run within our hearts and minds? What do I have ample of? And thank God that I've got ample of it. And therefore I can give freely without reciprocal rights. But also, is there some things that I guard too closely? And I'm actually protecting myself, or I've got some other agenda within that, and I need to learn to be generous with that too. Just a few more and then we'll gather it together. One step forward in terms of faithfulness. And this is not just about married life. This is true for everyone. It certainly includes married life, but it's for everyone. Who am I given to for the long term? Whatever the relationship may be. Who am I given to for the long term? And how does that show in the choices that I make and in what I say and in what I do? Gentleness. What do I need to stop trying to force? What am I actually, and where do I need to let go of pressing my own opinion? The word is related to humility. What do I need to stop trying to force? This is related in some ways to the discussion about patience. But is there some relationship or circumstance, result I'm trying to produce that I'm actually trying to force the situation, and the energy I'm putting into it says a lot more about me than it does about the circumstance itself? And I just need to back off. Because I'm not convinced that I'm actually showing the character of God as I press this circumstance. Or maybe it's needing my own opinion to be the one that rules in a particular situation. That isn't just heard and respected. It is actually the opinion that has a say in a given circumstance. And I feel fragile or vulnerable if my opinion is not the one that is the last word in a given circumstance. Maybe I need to be gentle with how I let my opinion sit in a circumstance, and they can roll as they need to. And last, we'll hurry on from this one. Where do I need to show strength in my life? Again, the Greek word for this one, self-control, is related to the word mighty or strong. Where do I need to show strength in my life? And what does it look like when you are applying that strength? I hope they're helpful and just as disturbing for you as they are for me. As we find our way through. And as I say, please take up that sheet to use it as an ongoing focus for you along the way. There's something else that needs to be said, though. Paul's writing these in Galatians. Is Paul addressing it to Mr. Galatian there and Mrs. Galatian here? Well, sort of. But he's actually addressing a church, isn't he? These fruit of the Spirit, we've gone and individualized them and turned them into a consumerist mode because we've got these Western heads that we've brought to church today. But actually, these fruit of the Spirit are called, the church is called to show them as a body. And I want us to think, I'm not going to go back through the whole list again, but have a good hard think. What does it look like when we show love? What does it look like when we are showing joy? What does it look like when we showing patience, and so on. I've got ahead of myself here. So Paul is seeking fruit in the congregation's life. And what do the fruit of the Spirit look like when we're living them together? That's where I'm going to go. And that's a whole other conversation for us to participate in. Suffice to say, we've already got two examples ahead for us. Our messy church, delightful carry-on next Saturday, is one, for me, one expression of joy that we have as a congregation. And then 8 days after that, on June 23, we'll get to do that again as we have our mid-year celebration and our prayer service. There's a church photo from, I reckon, about 1960. So the hall was built in 58, he says, looking at the people who were here at the time. And this church was built about 63, we were worshipping in here. So I don't know if we're going to reenact that photo exactly, but I want to give us a chance to enjoy the being together as God's people. I hope that gives you something to be warmed by, something to mull over. It's certainly given me pause for thought again this week. There are flyers, both black and white and colour flyers, for June the 23rd. This is the flyer that you'll see. If you go in through Elvanto and click on the link, you'll eventually get to this PDF document. But there is hard copy. So you can take away all the information that you need for June 23 is here for you today, as well as the Fruit of the Spirit guide questions that I mentioned before. Now it's our chance to rest together and to pray.